Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin. Today, we will be reading the following main articles. Measles outbreaks in Michigan and Pennsylvania end, while Colorado has now logged 12 cases. Representative Crow proposes Equal Access to Justice Act for gun violence victims. Fire truck parade and muster returns June 14th. And following up with miscellaneous articles. The Sentinel. Metro. Measles outbreaks in Michigan and Pennsylvania end, while Colorado has now logged 12 cases. Colorado has seen a total of 12 measles cases in 2025, which includes one outbreak of 7 related cases. Written by the Associated Press, June 6, 2025. There are 3 ads associated with this article. The first ad, Centennial Muse. There's a list of different events that are coming up in the near future around Denver. Sunday the 8th, Dam Jam, La Dolce Vita, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Bayside, 25th Anniversary, The Heirs to Ruler, 2-Day Pass, Summit, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Denver Fringe Festival, All Over Rhino, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Could Reliable Pet Sitting and Dog Walking Transform Your Routine? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Foam Wonderland, National Western Conference, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Is Your Dog Getting Enough Exercise for a Healthy Lifestyle? Moss, Denver, Denver, Colorado. And Juliet, Denver Center for the Arts, Denver, Colorado. The second ad. Now on the SEAM Network, power and community starts here. Local stories revealing the systems shaping everyday life in Colorado and the community power rising to change them. Read it at partner.ethnicmedia.co/power-in-community. Presented by the Colorado Health Foundation. The third ad, sponsored content. Whose voice gets heard when the system chooses who thrives and who doesn't? There is also a version written in Spanish. The U.S. logged 122 more cases of the measles this week, but only 4 of them in Texas, while the outbreaks in Pennsylvania and Michigan have officially ended. There are 1,168 confirmed measles cases in the U.S., the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Friday. Health officials in Texas, where the nation's biggest outbreak raged during the late winter and spring, said they'll now post case counts only once a week, yet another sign the outbreak is slowing. There are 3 other major outbreaks in North America. The longest, in Ontario, Canada, has resulted in 2,009 cases from mid-October through June 3rd. The province logged its first death Thursday in a baby that got congenital measles, but also had other pre-existing conditions. Another outbreak in Alberta, Canada, has sickened 761 as of Thursday, and the Mexican state of Chihuahua had 1,940 measles cases and 4 deaths as of Friday, according to the data from the State Health Ministry. Other U.S. states with active outbreaks, which the CDC defines as 3 or more related cases, includes Colorado, Kansas, Montana, North Dakota, Ohio, and Tennessee. In the U.S., 2 elementary school-aged children in the epicenter in West Texas and an adult in New Mexico have died of measles this year. All were unvaccinated. Measles is caused by highly contagious virus that's airborne and spreads easily when an infected person breathes, sneezes, or coughs. It is preventable through vaccines and has been considered eliminated from the U.S. since 2000. How many cases are there in Colorado? Colorado has seen a total of 12 measles cases in 2025, which includes one outbreak of 7 related cases. The outbreak is linked to a Turkish Airlines flight that landed at Denver International Airport in mid-May and includes three cases, each in Arapaho and El Paso counties, and one in Denver, plus a person who doesn't live in Colorado. Other counties that have seen measles this year include Cholula and Pueblo. How many measles cases are there in Texas? There are a total of 742 cases across 35 counties, most of them in West Texas, state health officials said Friday. Throughout the outbreak, 94 people have been hospitalized. State health officials estimated less than 1% of cases, fewer than 10, are actively infectious. 55% of Texas cases are in Gaines County, where the virus started spreading in a close-knit, under-vaccinated Mennonite community. The county has had 411 cases since late January, just under 2% of the county's residents. The April 3rd death in Texas was an 8-year-old child, according to Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Local health officials said the child did not have underlying health conditions and died of, quote, what the child's doctor described as measles pulmonary failure, end quote. An unvaccinated child with no underlying conditions died of measles in Texas in late February. Kennedy said the child was 6. How many measles cases are there in New Mexico? New Mexico added 2 cases in the past week for a total of 81. 7 people have been hospitalized since the outbreak started. Most of the state's cases are in Lea County. Sandoval County, near Albuquerque, has had 6 cases. Eddy County has 3. Dona Ana County has 2. Chavez, Curry, and San Juan counties have 1 each. An unvaccinated adult died of measles-related illness March 6th. The person did not seek medical care. How many cases are there in Oklahoma? Oklahoma added 1 case this week for a total of 15 confirmed and 3 probable cases. The state's health department is not releasing which counties have cases. How many cases are there in Kansas? Kansas has a total of 71 cases across 11 counties in the southwestern part of the state, with 3 hospitalizations. All but 2 of the cases are connected, and most are in Gray County. How many cases are there in Montana? Montana has 17 measles cases as of Thursday. 10 are in Gallatin County, which is where the first cases showed up, Montana's first in 35 years. Flathead and Yellowstone counties have 2 cases each, and Hill County has 3 cases. There are outbreaks in neighboring North Dakota and the Canadian provinces of Alberta, British Columbia, and Saskatchewan. How many cases are there in North Dakota? North Dakota, which hadn't seen measles since 2011, is up to 34 cases as of Friday. 2 of the people have been hospitalized, and all of the people with confirmed cases were not vaccinated. There are 16 cases in Williams County in western North Dakota on the Montana border. On the eastern side of the state, on the Minnesota border, there are 10 cases in Grand Forks County and 7 cases in Cass County. Burke County, in northwest North Dakota on the border of Saskatchewan, Canada, has 1 case. How many cases are there in Ohio? Ohio remains steady for a third week at 34 measles cases and 1 hospitalization, according to the Ohio Department of Health. That count includes only Ohio residents. The state has 2 outbreaks. Ashtabula County near Cleveland has 16 cases, and Knox County in east central Ohio has 20. 14 among Ohio residents and the rest among visitors. Allen, Cuyahoga, Holmes, and Defiance counties have 1 case each. How many cases are there in Tennessee? Tennessee has had 6 measles cases since early May, but no change since. Tennessee's outbreak appears to be over, as health officials say there have not been any new cases in 6 weeks. Where else is measles showing up in the U.S.? Measles cases has also been reported in Alaska, Arkansas, California, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Vermont, Virginia, and Washington. Early outbreaks in Indiana, Michigan, and Pennsylvania were declared over by health officials after 6 weeks of no new cases. Cases and outbreaks in the U.S. are frequently traced to someone who caught the disease abroad. The CDC said in May that more than twice as many measles have come from outside of the U.S. compared to May of last year, and most of those are in unvaccinated Americans returning home. In 2019, the U.S. saw 1,274 cases and almost lost its status of having eliminated measles. What do you need to know about the MMR vaccine? The best way to avoid measles is to get the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. The first shot is recommended for children between 12 and 15 months old, and the second between 4 and 6 years old. Getting another MMR shot as an adult is harmless if there are concerns about waning immunity, the CDC says. People who have documentation of receiving a live measles vaccine in the 1960s don't need to be revaccinated, but people who were immunized before 1968 with an ineffective vaccine made from, quote, killed, end quote, virus, should be revaccinated with at least one dose, the agency said. People who have documentation that they had measles are immune, and those born before 1957 generally don't need the shots because so many children got measles back then that they have the, quote, presumptive immunity, end quote. Measles has a harder time spreading throughout communities with high vaccination rates, above 95%, due to, quote, herd immunity, end quote. But childhood vaccination rates have declined nationwide since the pandemic, and more parents are claiming religious or personal conscience waivers to exempt their kids from required shots. What are the symptoms of measles? Measles first infects the respiratory tract, then spreads throughout the body, causing a high fever, runny nose, cough, red watery eyes, and a rash. The rash generally appears 3 to 5 days after the first symptoms, beginning as flat red spots on the face, then spreading downward to the neck, trunk, arms, legs, and feet. When the rash appears, the fever may spike over 104 degrees Fahrenheit, according to the CDC. Most kids will recover from measles, but infection can lead to dangerous complications such as pneumonia, blindness, brain swelling, and death. How can you treat measles? There's no specific treatment for measles, so doctors generally try to alleviate symptoms, prevent complications, and keep patients comfortable. The Associated Press Health and Science Department receives support from Howard Hughes Medical Institution Science and Educational Media Group and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. The AP is solely responsible for all content. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. File. A sign is seen outside of Seminole Hospital District offering measles testing February 21st, 2025 in Seminole, Texas. AP photo, Julio Cortez. The picture is of a big wooden picture that says measles testing spray painted on it with the Texas state flag flying in the background. Centennial Metro. Representative Crow proposes Equal Access to Justice Act for gun violence victims. Quote, right now, the gun industry is shielded from any liability when they disregard public safety. That's wrong. End quote. Written by the Centennial and Associated Press, June 6, 2025. There are three ads associated with this article. The first ad, Centennial Muse. There's a list of different events that are coming up in the near future around Denver. Sunday the 8th, Dam Jam, La Dolce Vita, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Bayside, 25th Anniversary, The Heirs Tour, 2-Day Pass, Summit, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Denver Fringe Festival, All Over Rhino, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Could Reliable Pet Sitting and Dog Walking Transform Your Routine? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Foam Wonderland, National Western Conference, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Is Your Dog Getting Enough Exercise for a Healthy Lifestyle? Moss, Denver, Denver, Colorado. and Juliet, Denver Center for the Arts, Denver, Colorado. The second ad, now on the SEAM Network, power and community starts here. Local stories revealing the systems shaping everyday life in Colorado and the community power rising to change them. Read it at partner.ethnicmedia.co/power in community. Presented by the Colorado Health Foundation. The third ad, sponsored content. Whose voice gets heard when the system chooses who thrives and who doesn't? There is also a version written in Spanish. Aurora. Aurora Congressperson Jason Crow has reintroduced the Equal Access to Justice for Victims of Gun Violence Act, saying the legislation would allow survivors and family members of victims of gun violence to sue and hold the gun industry accountable for negligence and disregard for public safety. Quote, victims and survivors should be able to hold the gun industry accountable in court for negligent behavior. But right now, the gun industry is shielded from any liability when they disregard public safety. That's wrong, end quote, Crow said in a statement. Quote, I'm introducing this bill so we can finally hold the gun industry responsible, end quote. Since it was signed in 2005 by President George W. Bush, the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act has been used to shield gun makers and sellers from civil liability, leaving countless gun violence victims and survivors without a path to recourse through the justice system, critics of the PLCAA say. Crow's bill would repeal the PLCAA, providing what he and proponents say would be a critical step toward delivering the justice gun violence victims, survivors, and their loved ones deserve. Also sponsoring the bill are Representatives Eric Swalwell, Democrat of California, Mike Thompson, Democrat of California, and Dwight Evans, Democrat of Pennsylvania. Senators Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, Chris Murphy, Democrat of Connecticut, and Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, introduced the U.S. Senate companion bill. The measure has already been endorsed by Brady United Against Gun Violence, Giffords, Newton Action Alliance, Every Town for Gun Safety, and Sandy Hook Promise Action Fund. Numerous gun lobbyists and industry officials have opposed previous versions of the bill and state attempts to enact similar legislation, including in Colorado. Crow, an Army veteran and member of the Gun Violence Prevention Task Force, has previously supported what he says is, quote, common sense, end quote, gun violence prevention legislation, including reintroducing the Closing the Loophole on Interstate Firearm Sales Act. Crow also co-led efforts to ensure proper implementation of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, legislation he helped pass into law in 2022 and the first substantial gun safety reform package in nearly 30 years. Gun control bills have been frequent targets of opposition by both House and Senate Republicans, and President Donald Trump campaigned against new gun regulations. However, the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the first substantial gun safety reform package in decades, was passed and signed in 2022 with the help of Crow. The history of protecting the gun industry. The 2005 Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act gives immunity to gun makers so they can't be held liable for injuries caused by criminal misuse of their weapons, according to Adam Winkler, a law professor at the University of California, Los Angeles. He said Congress feared liability could put firearm sellers and manufacturers out of business. Another purpose of the law was to protect a citizen's access to buy and use firearms for legal purposes, according to the firearms law expert Jacob Charles. Current federal law includes 6 exceptions where firearms manufacturers or dealers could be held liable for damages their weapons cause, Charles said. These exceptions include defects or damages in the design of the gun, negligence, or breach of contract or warranty regarding the purchase of a gun. But even with the PLCAA's exceptions, it's still very difficult to sue gun manufacturers, experts say. Of the 6 exceptions, Charles said at least 3 are, quote, hardly ever used, end quote, while the others have been applied, quote, fairly narrowly, end quote. Judges have dismissed many cases against gun makers. That's because PLCAA provides immunity in most scenarios where a person would try to sue, and the law itself discourages many people from taking action, Winkler said. Quote, the cases, like Newton, that have survived tend to be innovative suits that the test boundaries of the law, end quote, said Winkler, who wrote, quote, gunfight, the battle over the right to bear arms in America, end quote. Colorado's version of the law. A similar 2003 Colorado's law repealed previous industry protections, but only in the state. Currently, the firearm industry is still largely shielded from liability under the federal law that Crow hopes to repeal. The bill in Colorado sought to make it easier for victims of gun violence to file civil suits, such as the one lodged against Remington in 2015 by Sandy Hook shooting families. Remington made the rifle used in 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre in Connecticut. Remington settled in 2022 with the families of those killed in the 2015 shooting for $73 million after the families accused the companies of targeting younger, at-risk males in advertising and product placement in gun-violent video games. States that have already had the law in place, however, are now facing legal challenges or threats of lawsuits from national gun rights groups, in part because the federal law passed by Congress in 2005 already gives the gun industry broad legal immunity. Quote, we may forget how unusual and bizarre this is to provide this exemption from accountability, end quote, Ari Freilich, state policy director for the gun control advocacy group, Giffords, told the Associated Press in 2023. That group argued that the federal law allows states some control over the industry's legal liability, but not enough. Giffords is backing Crow's new bill, according to his office. The Colorado law sought to, quote, empower victims of gun violence to have their day in court and be able to show that the gun industry may have failed to take reasonable precautions to avoid harm, end quote, Freilich said. Mark Olivia, managing director for public affairs at the National Shooting Sports Foundation, which has filed the lawsuits against other states' laws, said Colorado's will be, quote, ripe, end quote, for a legal challenge if the bill passes. Oliva argues that if Coors Brewing Company shouldn't be held responsible for its customers drinking and driving, then why should gun businesses be held responsible for what their customers do? Quote, the intention of this bill is to expose the firearm industry to legal costs for junk lawsuits, end quote, Oliva said. Quote, you don't have Second Amendment rights if you don't have the ability to purchase a firearm at retail to begin with, end quote. The Colorado law also ends requirements that plaintiffs pay attorney's fees if their case against the gun company is dismissed. That requirement bankrupted two parents of Jessica Redfield Guahi, killed in the 2012 Aurora theater shooting. The 2023 law was named after Guahi. Her parents forced them to pay over $200,000 in attorney's fees for the plaintiffs when the lawsuit was dismissed. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. Jennifer McGrew and her kids Braden, 7, and Madison, 13, pay tribute to the 12 victims who were killed during the 2012 theater shooting on Monday, July 20th, 2015 at the intersection of Almeida and Sable. Representative Jason Crow, Democrat of Aurora, is sponsoring a measure that would allow survivors and their families to bring lawsuits against gun manufacturers and sellers deemed responsible in the shootings. File photo by Gabriel Christus, Aurora Sentinel. The picture is of a younger boy, a younger girl, and an older lady standing on the side of the road with crosses and hearts as they stand overlooking at them. Sentinel. Police ordered state employees to turn over personal information after ICE subpoenaed lawsuit claims. Quote, the police directive to collaborate with ICE is illegal, end quote, the lawsuit states. Written by the Sentinel and AP sources, June 6, 2025. There are three ads associated with this article. The first ad, Sentinel Muse. there's a list of different events that are coming up in the near future around Denver. Sunday the 8th, Dam Jam, La Dolce Vita, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Bayside, 25th Anniversary, The Heirs to Ruler, 2-Day Pass, Summit, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Denver Fringe Festival, All Over Rhino, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Could Reliable Pet Sitting and Dog Walking Transform Your Routine? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Foam Wonderland, National Western Conference, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Is Your Dog Getting Enough Exercise for a Healthy Lifestyle? Moss, Denver, Denver, Colorado. And Juliet, Denver Center for the Arts, Denver, Colorado. The second ad, now on the SEEM Network, Power and Community Starts Here. Local stories revealing the systems shaping everyday life in Colorado and the community power rising to change them. Read it at partner.ethnicmedia.co/power-in-community. Presented by the Colorado Health Foundation. The third ad, sponsored content. Whose voice gets heard when the system chooses who thrives and who doesn't? There is also a version written in Spanish. This story was produced as a part of the Colorado Capital News Alliance. It first appeared at coloradosun.com. Denver. Governor Jared Polis ordered the state labor department to turn over personal information about people who are providing homes for unaccompanied immigrant children after receiving a subpoena from the Trump administration, according to a whistleblower lawsuit filed Wednesday. The details of the subpoena were revealed in the lawsuit filed by a director in the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment who argues that turning over the information is a violation of state law. The April 24 subpoena from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement requests the unemployment benefits filings, insurance records, and employer information of 35 people who are sponsors of unaccompanied minors. It also requests their addresses as well as telephone and email contact information. The whistleblower case was filed in the State District Court in Denver by Scott Moss, who is the director of the State Division of Labor Standards and Statistics. It details a battle between Moss and the governor's office, in which Moss has argued since April that turning over the personal information is illegal. Moss said that a day after receiving the subpoena, the governor's office told him that it was analyzing its, quote, rights and options, end quote, before making a decision about whether to comply. In early May, he was told that Polis had decided not to produce the information, but then was told this week that governor has reversed course and that Moss must produce the personal information. Moss alleges in the lawsuit that he is, quote, directed to commit the illegal acts, end quote, that violate state laws Polis signed in 2021 and 2025. The laws said government agencies and their employees, quote, shall not disclose personal identifying information that is not publicly available information for the purpose of investigating for, participating in, cooperating with, or assisting in federal immigration enforcement, including enforcement of civil immigration laws, end quote. Unaccompanied children are minors who crossed the border and were detained by immigration authorities, then released to, quote, sponsors, end quote, while their immigration cases are pending. The subpoena noted that authorities were seeking information about sponsors of accompanied minors, including quarterly wage reports, schedules, employer's name and address, and records filed under the Family and Medical Leave Insurance Program, the lawsuit says. The Polis directive to collaborate with ICE is illegal, end quote, the lawsuit states. Quote, it also harms an unknown but potentially large number of state employees by directing them to commit illegal acts, risking a wide range of professional and personal harms, including personal penalties of up to $50,000 per violation under the legislation Governor Polis signed himself into law, end quote. In the response to the lawsuit, a spokesperson for Polis defended the decision to cooperate with the subpoena, saying it was consistent with carve-outs in the law for criminal investigations. Quote, helping our federal law enforcement partners locate and, if necessary, rescue children being abused and trafficked is not only in line with the law, but also a moral imperative, end quote, said spokesman Eric Mayuma. Quote, it is important to produce records in accordance with criminal investigations to ensure the safety of Coloradoans and, most importantly, to protect and ensure the safety of children. Attempts to delay or block this information could prolong criminal exploitation and abuse the children, and we are eager to assist. We would comply unless a court deems otherwise, end quote. In April and May, armed federal agents conducted unannounced home visits throughout Colorado on the listed guardians of unaccompanied minors, Colorado Public Radio reported. An ICE document providing guidance for the effort indicated multiple motives, including creating a database of their locations, determining whether they are complying with their responsibilities to immigration courts, and learning whether they have committed criminal offenses before arrival or while in the U.S., all possible preludes to removal from the country. It did not mention looking for victims of trafficking as a motivation. Moss is requesting an immediate restraining order to block compliance with the subpoena. He said he was told on Tuesday by the governor's office that he must produce the personal information by Friday. The lawsuit was first reported on Thursday by The Lever. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. Federal agents from ICE, ATF, DEA, Homeland Security, and others during a series of immigration raids in Aurora and Denver apartments, February 5, 2025. Agents said on social media they were searching for more than 100 people suspected of being linked to the Venezuelan gang, Tren de Aragua, as well as people suspected of trafficking illegal drugs. Photo via ATF X account. The picture shows an ATF police officer, an HIS officer, and a couple others standing in the background that have handcuffed a person. Sentinel Metro. Recent details in the Boulder attack on demonstrators for the release of Israel hostages. Suspect faces life in prison for attempted murder and hate crime charges. Written by Colleen Slevin, Associated Press, Hannah Schoenbaum, Associated Press, and Olga R. Rodriguez, Associated Press, June 6, 2025. There are three ads associated with this article. The first ad, Sentinel Muse. There's a list of different events that are coming up in the near future around Denver. Sunday the 8th, Dam Jam, La Dolce Vita, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Bayside, 25th Anniversary, The Heirs to Ruler, 2-Day Pass, Summit, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Denver Fringe Festival, All Over Rhino, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Could Reliable Pet Sitting and Dog Walking Transform Your Routine? Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, Foam Wonderland, National Western Conference, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 7th, is your dog getting enough exercise for a healthy lifestyle? Moss, Denver, Denver, Colorado. And Juliet, Denver Center for the Arts, Denver, Colorado. The second ad, now on the SEEM Network, power and community starts here. Local stories revealing the systems shaping everyday life in Colorado and the community power rising to change them. Read it at partner.ethnicmedia.co/power-in-community. Presented by the Colorado Health Foundation. The third ad, sponsored content. Whose voice gets heard? When the system chooses who thrives and who doesn't. There is also a version written in Spanish. Boulder. The man who authorities say firebombed a group in Boulder demonstrating for the release of Israel hostages has been charged in state court with over 100 counts, including attempted murder and assault. Mohammed Sabri Soliman, 45, an Egyptian national who federal authorities say was living in the U.S. illegally, has also been charged with a hate crime in federal court and is jailed on a $10 million cash bond. Authorities say Solomon yelled, quote, "Free Palestine," end quote, and threw two of 18 Molotov cocktails he was carrying. Officials say he expressed no regrets about the attack, which came after a man who also yelled, quote, "Free Palestine," end quote, was charged with fatally shooting two Israel embassy staffers outside a Jewish museum in Washington on May 21st. The Israel-Hamas war has contributed to a spike in anti-Semitism in the U.S. It began in October 2023 when Hamas militants in Gaza stormed into southern Israel, killing 1,200 people and taking 250 others hostage. What's next for the suspect and his family? Solomon was charged with 118 counts in a Colorado court Thursday. His attorney, Catherine Harold, waived a formal reading of the charges, and a preliminary hearing was set for July 15th to determine whether the state has enough evidence to move forward. The attempted murder charges alone could result in Solomon being sentenced to as many as 672 years if convicted, said Michael Doherty, the Boulder County District Attorney. Solomon entered the country in August 2022 on a tourist visa that expired in February 2023, according to the Department of Homeland Security Assistant Secretary Tricia McLaughlin. Solomon filed for asylum and was granted a work authorization in March 2023, but that also expired. He and his wife and children were living in Colorado Springs. A federal judge issued an order Wednesday to halt the deportation of Solomon's wife and children, who were taken into custody Tuesday by U.S. immigration officials. The family members, all Egyptian citizens, have not been charged in the attack. They were being held at an immigration detention center in Texas, said Eric Lee, an attorney representing the family. Solomon told authorities that no one, including his family, knew about his attack plan, according to court documents. Authorities are investigating whether that's true. In response to the attack, U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem said Wednesday that federal authorities will crack down on people who overstay their visas. What was the possible motive behind the attack? Solomon told police he was driven by a desire to, quote, "kill all Zionist people," end quote, referring to the movement to establish and sustain a Jewish state in Israel. The attack on the popular Pearl Street pedestrian mall in downtown Boulder targeted what Solomon described as a, quote, "Zionist group," end quote, authorities said in court papers, charging him with a federal hate crime. That charge carries a sentence of life in prison when it includes attempted murder. Who are the demonstrators? The people hurt in the attack are demonstrators with Run for Their Lives, a global grassroots initiative that started in October 2023 after Hamas attacks in Israel. Through weekly walks, the group's 230 chapters seek to raise awareness of the 58 people believed to still be in captivity in Gaza, said Shira Weiss, the organization's global coordinator. Authorities have said 15 people and a dog were victims of the attack, but not all of them were physically injured, with some being considered victims for the legal case because they were in the area and could have been hurt. The dog was among the injured, Doherty said. The victims include 8 women and 7 men, range in age from 25 to 88, and their injuries range from serious to minor. Rodriguez from San Francisco reported, and Shabam from Salt Lake City. There are 4 pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description. A passerby touches the flag of Israel taped onto the top of a bollard on the east end of the Pearl Street Mall near the Boulder County, Colorado courthouse Monday, June 2nd, 2025, in Boulder, Colorado. AP photo, David Zalabowski. The second photo has the following description. In this June 1st, 2025 photo provided by Lisa Turnquist, Boulder, Colorado, attack suspect Mohammed Sabri Solomon is seen as he launched a fiery attack on demonstrators at an outdoor mall Sunday, June 1st, 2025 in Boulder, Colorado. Lisa Turnquist via AP. The third picture has a following description. A woman places a bouquet of flowers at a makeshift memorial for victims of an attack outside of the Boulder County, Colorado courthouse, Tuesday, June 3, 2025, in Boulder, Colorado. AP photo, David Zelabowski. The fourth picture has the following description. Roses are covered in drops of rain as a storm sweeps over a makeshift memorial for victims of an outside attack on the Boulder County, Colorado courthouse, Tuesday, June 3, 2025, in Boulder, Colorado. AP photo, David Zelabowski. An edition of the Littleton Independent, Centennial Citizen Independent, Volume 24, Issue 27, Week of June 5, 2025. Fire Truck Parade and Muster returns June 14th. Festive annual event to feature Main Street Parade, Assembly at Arapahoe Community College by Isabel Guzman. Isabel at cotln.org. Prepare for sirens, spectacle, and hands-on learning as the annual Fire Truck Parade and Muster returns to Littleton on June 14th. Hosted by Mile High Hook and Ladder, in partnership with South Metro Fire Rescue, this event allows people the chance to observe fire trucks and emergency demonstrations such as fire extinguishing and helping victims in a mock car accident. Quote, the theme of this year's parade and muster will be neighbors helping neighbors. We want to stress that lending a helping hand to your neighbor will make a strong community, especially in the time of need, end quote, said Brian Willey, South Metro's communications specialist. Mile High Hook and Ladder is a volunteer antique fire truck club, quote, dedicated to the preservation, restoration, and operation of fire apparatus in America, end quote, according to the event description. The free event will begin at 9 a.m. with a parade of fire trucks rolling down Main Street in Littleton. Attendees can expect to see both vintage and modern firefighting apparatus, including South Metro Fire Trucks Rescue's, quote, Black Pearl, end quote, ladder truck, and, for the first time, a massive 60-foot tiller ladder truck with dual drivers maneuvering the parade route. From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., the action moves to Arapahoe Community College for the muster. Muster highlights include live fire sprinkler demo. The National Fire Sprinkler Association will ignite its side-by-side burner trailer, offering a demonstration of how quickly fire sprinklers can save lives and property. Burn cell demo. The Colorado Division of Fire Prevention and Control will demonstrate how a closed door can keep people safer in a fire. Auto extrication demo. South Metro Fire Rescue will use the jaws of life to pry open a crashed car and rescue a simulated accident victim, showcasing real-life emergency response skills. Helicopter landing. The Children's Hospital Colorado Children's One Flight Team will land a neonatal pediatric emergency helicopter, giving families a close-up look at life-saving air rescue operations. New to this year's muster will be the Home Fire Safety Simulator. Quote, participants are presented with an immersive learning experience offering opportunities for critical thinking, physical activity, hazard recognition, and safe practices, end quote, Willie said. Attendees can explore fire trucks, meet local firefighters, and participate in various activities for children, such as a bucket brigade and hose spraying. The event also features a safety and wellness fair, during which local organizations will provide information on how emergency preparedness, such as tips on how, when, and why to call 911 and perform CPR. The Arapahoe County's Coroner's Office will also offer a maggot art, during which kids can use live maggots dipped in non-toxic paint to create art pieces while learning about forensic science. The event also spotlights the vital work of groups like the Arapahoe Rescue Patrol, a high school student-run search and rescue team, and the Children's Hospital Colorado Burn Camps program, which supports young burn survivors. Guests can purchase food, beverages, and t-shirts at the event, and parents are advised to pack sunscreen, hats, and a change of clothes for children. There are three pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description. This year's fire truck parade and muster will take place on June 14th in downtown Littleton. The picture is of a mini fire truck that says South Metro on the front, with a man driving it that looks a little squished inside. The second picture has the following description. Mock vehicle crashes during the fire truck parade and muster will demonstrate how emergency personnel work to save victims. Photos courtesy of South Metro Fire Rescue. The picture is of a few different fire riders carrying a person out of a car trying to get them to safety. The third picture has the following description. Youth who attend the fire truck parade and muster in Littleton will be able to spray a fire truck hose. The picture is of a woman kneeling down with her two kids while there is a bunch of water being sprayed in the background. How to enjoy the worst team of all time. Some suggestions for resilient Rockies fans by John Renfro. John@cotln.org. Dismayed Colorado fans still turn up at Coors Field to support their spiraling Rockies with yells of, quote, sell the team, end quote, ringing out behind hot dog bites and swigs of beer. But it's the results on the field that are often difficult to stomach. The old adage in baseball is that before the season even begins, you get 40 wins and 40 losses, and what your team does between them will determine the course of the season. But even before June rolled around, the Rockies had already lost their 40th game on May 20th. But at least tickets were only $5 that day and will likely remain in the single digits for the remainder of the season. There will be price hikes when teams like the Yankees and Dodgers come to town, but the organization knows it's getting increasingly difficult to put butts in seats. Colorado is on pace to be even worse than the 2024 Chicago White Sox, a team that finished 41-121 last season, the worst since the 1962 New York Mets, who were 40-120. According to an article from ESPN on May 13th, the Rockies' record through 40 games puts them on pace to finish 28 out of 134. Let that sink in. So anyway, here are some possible ways to better enjoy the worst team ever. Arrive early for cheap beers. If you arrive 2 hours before the game's first pitch, you might see fans double-fisting 12-ounce beers as they make their way to the seats. That's because fans can enjoy $3 Coors Lights, yes, $3 for 12 ounces, and $6 craft beers, 16 ounces, before the game starts. Or you can wait until the drinks are literally $10 more expensive than that after the national anthem. That way, you don't feel bad leaving in the seventh inning when the team is down a gross number of runs, like the 21-0 loss to the San Diego Padres on May 10th. The third biggest shutout margin in the major leagues since 1901. Pin the promotional schedule to the fridge. Whether it's buy one, get one hot dog night, bobblehead night, or enjoying fireworks after the game, promos are always a good excuse to get to the ballpark. Plus, summer in Colorado makes for a picture-perfect night for baseball if you can stomach the score of the game. For example, catch a star-studded night when the Los Angeles Dodgers come to town on June 25th. The first 10,000 fans through the door receive a Rockies cowboy hat, or show up for another fan favorite night like Star Wars or Grateful Dead night. Put some cheddar on the games. Of course, be sure to gamble responsibly. But if you truly can't bear to watch the team continue to struggle, consider a prop bet or two to add a little seasoning to your experience. Bet on a player to get a hit, hammer a home run, or the Rockies to only lose by 3 runs or less. Or, if you get really cynical, bet on the other team. That way, at least the loss results in something positive for your night out. For the most diehard of fans, bet on the Rockies to win. Your passion for the game will soar with each at-bat, and the odds will reward you if the team pulls it off. Imagine beating the Yankees and going home with a fatter pocket. Enhance your game experience. It's Colorado. Enough said. you might find you care less and less about the team's record if you enjoy a nice night of weather after some homegrown Colorado enhancements like a gummy or a chocolate bar. Just make sure you find a cozy seat away from other people, especially rowdy fans of the other team. With fewer people flocking to the stadium, it shouldn't be difficult to find a nice solitary spot with a pretty view. But be careful throwing those cheap beers into the mix. As always, plan for a ride or use public transportation, and never drive under the influence. Only so much can be done to alleviate the pain of watching your team suck at a historic level. But as always, go Rockies forever. There is one picture with the article with the following description. Coors Field shines on a beautiful May evening as the Colorado Rockies play the Philadelphia Phillies on May 20th. The Phillies won 7-4 to give Colorado its 40th loss of the season. Agriculture Group honors Epic Campus Educator. Mike Montgomery teaches plant science, beekeeping, ecology. By Isabel Guzman. Isabel at COTLN.org. Littleton students have the opportunity to learn the ins and outs of agriculture, ranging from planting hydroponic lettuce to observing bee behavior at Epic Campus. The Explorative Pathways for Innovative Careers, Epic Campus, opened in August 2023 with a focus on teaching aerospace, trade skills, health and earth sciences, among other subjects. Students attend Epic for part of the day before returning back to their home, Littleton Public Schools High School, for the rest of the day. In an outdoor storage unit on campus, a hydroponic farm can be found where students start seedlings before transporting them into vertical structures that hold the plants using a water drip method in artificial light. Once harvested, the greens are transported to local food banks and to the district school cafeterias in the form of, quote, epic salads, end quote. Quote, the idea is that the students are getting the science credit, but they're learning it and they're applying it, end quote, said Mike Montgomery, the natural resource pathway lead at Epic, who also teaches plant science, hydrology, horticulture, wildlife management, and conservation ecology. Montgomery has been teaching for over 35 years and recently received the 2025 Outstanding Teacher Award from Colorado Agriculture in the Classroom, a nonprofit that offers agriculture education programs and resources for pre-kindergarten through 12th grade students and educators. Quote, this award is a testament to Mike's dedication, creativity, and passion for the preparing students to understand the vital role agriculture plays in our lives, end quote, said Jennifer Sharp, executive director of the Colorado Agriculture in the Classroom. Quote, he is helping build a generation that sees and values the connections between food, environment, and society, end quote. After planting lettuce in the soilless farm, students can learn about beekeeping and the role of pollination in producing food. Next to the farm are six beehives, a native pollinator house, and a compost bin, all constructed and maintained by Montgomery and his students. Most recently, students planted cacti that will continue to grow for the next generations of students to come. Quote, the kids get to see how the plants, the bees, the soil, and the water are all connected together and allows them to see the opportunities in all of those industries, end quote, Montgomery said. The hydroponic farming industry, for instance, is a booming business with the numbers to prove it. Ibis World, a research firm, reported there are an estimated 3,483 hydroponic crop farming businesses in the United States as of 2024, a growth of 4.2% compared to the 3,342 businesses in 2023, and a 10% compound annual growth between 2019 and 2024. Beekeeping is another industry that continues to be in demand, as honeybees contribute approximately $20 billion to the value of U.S. crop production, according to the American Beekeeping Federation. Quote, Mike Montgomery is an educational magician, end quote, said Sue Fall, a Colorado master beekeeper and past president of the Highland Beekeeping Club. Quote, he has inspired an unlikely group of suburban teenagers to develop a deep passion for some of our most important livestock, honeybees, end quote. Although Littleton may not be considered an agricultural hotspot, Montgomery said his students naturally already have an inclination to figure out where food comes from. The students have this attitude of wanting to protect the environment. I don't know if I change my minds about that, but I think their eyes are open to that, they say. I didn't know I could make my own food. I didn't know I could have a career in doing that, he said. Montgomery said it's been a powerful experience for students that work on the hydroponic farm to realize they are feeding their community while learning about sustainable farming. Quote, even though Littleton is generally considered fairly affluent, there are still kids that don't have enough to eat. And so, the students take a great deal of pride in knowing that they were providing this food for people who might not have it, end quote, he said. With his connections with local environmental companies, such as the South Suburban Parks and Recreation District and the Denver Botanical Gardens, Montgomery said students receive hands-on experience while also hearing from seasoned professionals about their career journey. In the future, Montgomery hopes to expand the operations of the hydroponic farms so students can deliver and even prepare the food. As part of the winning award, Montgomery will travel to Minnesota to attend the National Agriculture in the Classroom Conference and plans to bring what he learns at the conference back to his classroom. For educators who are interested in teaching agriculture, Montgomery said leaning on professionals who can speak to the class can help students bridge the connection between the science and potential career paths. Quote, don't be afraid to try new things, new learning experiences. New experiences are outside the classroom. Don't be afraid to reach out and connect with professionals. I think sometimes that's a little intimidating for teachers, but the professionals, they love to talk to kids, end quote, he said. Quote, be bold and try new things, end quote. That is all the time I have today for reading. Thank you for joining us for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.